Welcome back to the Gardening with Joe and Holly radio show. Continuing on with questions and answers. If you've got a question that you want to send over, you can do that either by giving us a sending us an email at gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call on the Proclamation Hotline brought to you by Proclamation Goods. And that number is 1-800-927-SHOW. 1-800-927-7469.
Proclamation Goods creates cookware for the eco-conscious home chef. Their pans are non-toxic, have a lifetime warranty, and are made in Wisconsin. Their award-winning stainless steel Proclamation Duo cookware set is a 12-inch skillet and a stock pot that doubles as a wok. Best of all, the skillet and stock pot hinge together to form a Dutch oven. It's two pans with a versatility of 10, empowering you to cook more with less. If you care about your health and strive for a more sustainable lifestyle, then Proclamation Goods is for you. Supply is limited, so order yours now at ProclamationGoods.com.
All right, continuing on with the questions here. I've heard and read so many explanations on how to prevent blossom end rot on tomatoes, from adding Tums to powdered milk to crushed eggshells. So I come to you, garden experts, for the correct answer. What is that right answer? Thank you.
Garden experts.
We've been called worse.
So here's what happened.
Well, explain what blossom end rot is.
Blossom end rot is a physiological problem with your tomato plant because it has a lack of proper calcium, and then it creates this blossom end rot. It looks like you look at the blossom end or the bottom of a tomato, and it's all brown and gross looking, and you're like, whoa, what happened? That's what blossom end rot is. Some people call it blossom end root rot or something like that. But anyway, so what happens is that your plant has lack of calcium access, essentially.
Not a lack of calcium in the soil.
It's not a lack of calcium in the soil. I mean, it's possible.
Rare occasion.
Rare occasion. But it's lack of calcium access. So what you need to do is you need to start watering your plants consistently. And so many people find, you know, that they do the eggshell thing or the Tums or what's it called?
Powdered milk.
Or
Epsom salt.
Epsom salt is not calcium. It's magnesium
sulfate.
And what happens is that
those two things don't go together.
No, they don't.
Magnesium doesn't fix a calcium deficiency.
No, but what happens...
I know we're in a crazy world, but those things still don't work.
Right. So what happens is that So a lot of times you'll get this advice to add XYZ to your soil, and then you water it in, and then the problem disappears. But why the problem disappears is because you've watered your plants and now they have access to the calcium in your soil. So watering consistently, as we spoke about in the segment one,
yes,
is key, and it's going to prevent that blossom end rot.
Now, not saying that adding Tums or powdered milk or eggshells is bad for your soil. Adding those things, Tums and the powdered milk, I think that's a waste. If you're going to use eggs and you're going to put eggs in the compost pile or in the garden, that's fine. There is some minute amount of calcium, and people think just crush it up, throw it in the hole. That's not how that works. Doing that, the eggshell can take up to 24 months to break down to a usable form. If you are wanting to accelerate the usage of what little calcium is available in those eggshells, you want to dry them out a few moments in the microwave or let them set out on the porch, and then have a designated blender or machine to pulverize them to a powder consistency. Then you can incorporate those into your soil, and that will help the breakdown process of those particles in order to utilize whatever little bit of availability is in those eggshells for the plants in your garden.
Right. So, on to
when,
our next question.
Yeah, when should pumpkins be started in time for Halloween? First time planter here, Zone 6B, Pennsylvania. Well, hello, Pennsylvania. Listening to us on WMBS 590 and FM 101.1 out of south of Pittsburgh.
Right. So pumpkins are, if you're going to grow a jack-o'-lantern, you want to, if you're going to start them, you want to plant those seeds directly into the soil. And you do that around the same time as your tomatoes?
You could wait until June to do that. Typically, we're looking at 90 to 100 days. So you want to start them in June, early June, because as these plants grow and get to a mature state, once you get to that September, October, those nights and those days are getting cooler, which is not going to help the growth or the development of a plant that loves heat.
Right. But if I was in zone 6B, I would put them in the ground Memorial Day weekend.
Right. Pumpkins are going to be okay after ripening for a few weeks. So you would be able to, you know, it's not like your Halloween's tomorrow and okay, I got to harvest today. You have some cushion there once the pumpkin is ripe in order to harvest it and let it set there.
Unless you're trying to grow a boat sized pumpkin.
Well, yeah, that's a whole nother challenge in itself. All right, Holly, you got some questions now that you had come in.
Yeah. So one of my friends wants to know that they are composting and they have a dog and she wants to know if they can put their dog waste in the compost.
Absolutely not.
No. And I told her that yes, it seems like a smart idea because dogs, you know, they have waste and you probably have plenty of it. But it's not smart because it's not sanitary and dogs also can carry diseases that, not necessarily affecting them, but it could affect your compost in a negative way.
Right. It can be very unsafe. Pathogens and parasites and bacteria live in dog's waste, including E. coli. So that's not good. And salmonella, along with several other types of worms and ringworms and tapeworms and all that other fun, unnecessary stuff that you, as us as humans, don't need to mess with because we've got plenty of other diseases that we need to be concerned with in the world than that. Now, that said, if you want to designate a specific pile of yard debris, grass clippings, weeds, and the dog feces, and that is strictly going to go on the yard and not going to be even close to food area.
A grass fertilizer?
Like a grass fertilizer.
Oh, yeah.
You can do that, but make sure that there's not the chance that if a hard rain comes, that will flush back into the area where the edibles are growing, because that will transfer over through the water, down the hill, into the garden, and then toxify and potentially cause those issues with your food that you're growing.
Right. So, yeah.
Next
question is another compost-ish question is, can I use chicken manure to directly onto my soil, or do I need to let it age? And so that is something that you do need to let it age because it does have possible salmonella and E. coli. So you just want to let it age over, 6 months to a year, I think?
Yeah, 6 months to a year. And then that is safe. Once it breaks down, totally okay. No problem with that at all. Now, if you have rabbits, the fun thing about rabbits is you can use that right away. You don't have to wait for that to break down. Hogs, cattle, you have to wait for that to break down because it's going to be too hot. It will burn. Hot meaning not like, oh, my hand's on fire. Hot meaning the nitrogen levels are so high that the plants will suck it up and basically cook themselves.
What about if you have a house rabbit? Can you still?
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be like a meat rabbit.
No, it doesn't have to be a specific genre, a variety of rabbit. Any rabbits will be fine.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we got another question from one of my friends is, I have this pallet wood and I want to use it for a raised bed. And Joey and I did this twice.
Right.
Yeah.
You can create, and if you go on our parent website, the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, and in the search bar at the upper right corner, put in pallet raised bed. We've got two different videos on how we constructed it. Not the construction which you may think, where we busted all the boards off the pallet and then nailed them all up in another. No, we cut the pallet in thirds, flipped them on its edge, nailed them together, and then
put quick and dirty.
Yeah, and put the compost in it. And the one we did going on third year, it's showing some wear, but it's still functional. Now, with that being said, there are certain pallets based on the marking on the pallet, and you have to look out what the marking after your research, that were treated with a chemical versus heat treated or kiln dried, meaning that they were dried out in that way. Also, if you have the availability to know what that pallet was used for, that will put peace of mind at your give you peace of mind if you care about that. Obviously, if a pallet has oil stains or discoloration of purple and green and all different colors, you don't want to use that. If it's clean and it just looks like it's been used, that's up to your discretion whether or not you feel it's okay to use or not. But those are your two things you want to be aware of.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.